So last Sunday was Super Bowl Sunday, right? Not a very good game, but most of the people in the U.S. don't watch the football game for the football. They watch the Super Bowl for the commercials, right? So we had a wide swath of commercials. Some were bad, some were annoying, right? Some were good. The best one, by far, Toyota. That was the most pro-life commercial I have ever seen. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and watch it and be like, oh yeah, that's the culture of life right there that we need to foster and build up. But that wasn't the one that stuck with me. So the one that stuck with me, do you guys remember the M&M commercial? Right, remember like you do something wrong to somebody and you give them M&Ms, like say sorry, right? So that's the one where there's a bunch of different little scenes, but one of them is, you know, I'm sorry I called you Karen, right? One lady to another lady, and then so it gives her some M&Ms, and then the lady's like, my name is Karen. And then she gives her more M&Ms and said, I'm sorry that your name is Karen, right? Okay, so that's the one that stuck with me, and here's why. Because in the middle of that one, there is a guy in a church who comes out of an old school confessional, right? And then goes to where the priest is in the middle, right? Opens up the little thing and says, I wish you didn't have to hear all that, and gives him M&Ms, right? And I know it was just a commercial. Listen, it's just a commercial. But it made me think, how many of us approach God, let alone confession, but God himself that way? Like we barely duck in, right? And we're like, I'm sorry you have to see me like this. See ya, right? And then sneak off. I'm sorry you have to hear that about me, and then sneak off. And friends, that's not how God is. That's how we think he is. But how we think he is and how he actually is are very different things, because all of us as sinners have a bad, distorted vision of God. And so enter tonight's gospel to help us see things rightly. Pope Benedict the 16th. One of my heroes, right? He said this. He said, healing is the central message of the gospel. Healing is the central message of the gospel. Jesus Christ comes to heal us. That's why he came. It's the central message. All that he's doing is meant to draw us into the healing love of God the Father, which is made visible and comes to us through Jesus Christ, his son. So tonight's gospel, we have this great event of healing, and it has a lot to tell us for our lives today. So the background, in Jesus' time, anyone who had leprosy was required by law to be cast out. They were the outcasts. You heard in the first reading from the book of Leviticus, someone with leprosy had to cry out, unclean, unclean. If anyone came near them, they were cast out from their towns or cities, so they couldn't be around other people. They couldn't worship. They were cast out from the synagogue or from the temple. And then, in a what's really a cruel twist, the disease of leprosy damages nerves. So they couldn't feel anything. So they can't even feel in their own bodies what's going on around them. So a triple isolation, cut off from others, cut off from God, and cut off from self. They're the poorest of the poor. Everything about them was defined by their disease. It shaped every aspect of their life in radical ways. Now, that's why, knowing that, that's why this gospel is so significant. Because this leper comes forward. He breaks the law. It's not just a bold move. It's not just a courageous move. It's a brazen move. And he probably was so desperate that he was like, I got nothing to lose. I have nothing left to lose. And so he moves toward Jesus. And I think that he must have intuited somehow, some way, that in Jesus he'd be received. And so he goes to him, right? Now, that has a lot to say to you and to me, and we'll get back to that. But look at that scene. He comes to Jesus, and then watch what happens. In both the leper and in Jesus, there are three movements, and then they speak. Each one, three movements, and then they speak. So for the leper, he comes to Jesus, he kneels down before him, and then he begs him. Three things. He comes to him, he kneels down before him, and he begs him. And then he says, if you wish, you can make me clean. Jesus' response, three movements. And then he says something. So we hear that he is moved with pity. He stretches out his hand. He touches him. And then he says, I do will it. Be made clean. What a scene. So to see this leper break all social convention, the law itself, and come before Jesus humbly, desperately, he begs him on his knees, if you wish, you can make me clean. What does Jesus do? He breaks every convention. He's moved with pity. We don't have in English the right way to describe what the Greek conveys in that. It's like every part of him is moved toward this man, not repulsed, as you and I would be if someone with leprosy came toward us. Not careful, not concerned. He is moved toward him. Everything in him moves toward this man in his brokenness and in his pain. And then he stretches out his hand. No one would have done that. No one, not the high priest, not the leader of the synagogue, no one, not this man's family, no one would have done that. And then he touches him. This man probably hadn't been touched in years. And it goes to show you how God is with the brokenness of humanity. He touches him and he says, I do will it. Be made clean. And immediately, the disease leaves him. This man whose whole life was defined by his brokenness, by his disease, is now cured. Everything has changed. He's no longer defined that way because Jesus has redefined everything in his life, bringing him back into relation with others, with God, and even with himself. Well, that's it, friends. That's perfect for us to hear. Because, let me tell you, in the scriptures, oftentimes leprosy and sin are paired. See, sin, we're all sinners. Me, you, everyone here. We're all spiritual lepers. And sin does exactly what leprosy does. It cuts us off from others, cuts us off from God. It even cuts us off from ourselves. And just like leprosy, there's so many people who let sin define them that they're reduced to their sin. Now, you might not pretend like that's the case, but for a lot of people, it is. How many people, their deepest identity revolves around some mistake, some sin, some failure, some brokenness. How many people is that true for? How many of your friends? How many people in your family? How many people in this chapel? That's why healing has to be the central message of the gospel. Because Jesus knows we're hurting, and he goes toward us. St. John Paul II, he said, you are not the sum of your weakness and failures. You are not the sum of your weakness and your failures. You are the sum of God's love for you. Isn't that great? You're not the sum of your weakness and your failures. You're the sum of God's love for you. That we, I don't know if we believe that. Because what we tend to do is pretend, right? Deep down inside, we're like, I don't know. If people really knew who I was, if they really knew what I was like, if they really knew what I struggled with, I don't think anyone would like me. And so we put on a show. We spend all sorts of energy presenting ourselves in a certain way. And so we play the game with each other. Friends, we play the game with ourselves. Rather than entering into the realities, what's really going on in here, and what God really wants to do in here, we fool ourselves. And we do a little bit what Adam and Eve did all the way back in the garden. We hide from God. We try to hide from others. We hide from ourselves. We believe that even God himself wouldn't want anything to do with me if he really knew, if I was really exposed for what I struggle with. That's not true. That's why knowing this gospel is so important. Jesus knows everything about us. He knows all our weakness. He knows all our failings. And instead of being repulsed by us, he is drawn to us. He is moved with compassion. Every part of him moves toward us, not away from us. And he stretches out his hand to us, just as he did to the leper. And he touches us if we let him. And he says, I will your healing. Be made clean, be set free. Be yourself, recreated in my grace and in my love. That's what Jesus is about. Brothers and sisters, that's what Jesus is about. He is radically in love with you, as you are right now. Does he want to heal? Absolutely. Because he knows that there's areas in our lives where we're not alive, where we're wounded, where we're diseased, where we're stuck in our sins. But that's why he came. So for us to remember that, to claim that, to not be afraid, to imitate the boldness, even the brazenness of the leper of this gospel, to come to Jesus and say, I got nothing to lose. Here I am. And if you want, Lord, you can heal me. Do you think Jesus is going to say anything different than what he says to the leper? No, I don't like you. No, you haven't suffered enough. No, you need to figure it out. Of course not. I do will it. I want your healing more than you want your healing. I want your freedom more than you want your freedom. I came for this. I do will it. Be made clean. Brothers and sisters, Hebrews chapter 4. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who is like us in all things, save sin. So let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and help in time of need. Please approach the throne of grace. Do not be afraid of the Lord. He loves you and he heals you because healing is the central message of the gospel.